I was working.
You did this for a neighbor lady?
Yeah. In a big field.
Your father didn't have any fields in there, right? He didn't grow corn.
Yeah, yeah, we had it. We grow ourselves only corn. So we had a corn meal, and as long as my father was working, he buy 100 pounds of white flour every so often. So mother mixed it up, and we had that bread all the time. But after that, father got lost the job, you know. He was no more white flour, you know. We just had this corn one. So most of the time, we eat more like corn mush and stuff like that.
How come your father lost his job? You said he was police chief?
He got sick.
He got sick?
Yeah.
And so he couldn't work, huh?
No.
Uh-huh.
So he didn't work nothing. And he never got well neither. He got sick that year. See, that year before I come over here, I think that was my worst year when I was a kid.
Your father was sick and times were hard, huh?
Yeah, we didn't have nothing. We eat everything already what we had in the basement. We had the sour route, we had a turnip, you know, sour in the basement, potatoes and stuff like that, and carrots.
Uh-huh.
And towards the spring, we didn't have nothing.
It was all gone.
All gone. So the neighborhood step in, you know, they bring us things. You know, they bring us wheat. You know that we had a flour to bake a bread.
Uh-huh.
They bring us some of their potatoes, what they had yet in the basement. And that's how it happened. You know, that was 1 week I didn't have no piece of bread, only one potato I had it when I come from school. They was keep warm in the stove. But I wasn't dumb, you know. I went by the neighbor just to visit her, and she knew right away that I'm hungry, so she gave me a piece of bread. That's the way they do in Europe. They help each other.
So that's why then they decided to ship you off, huh?
Yeah, and I was glad to go.
Because you didn't have enough to eat, huh?
I'm going to have enough bread.
Bread every day, huh?
Yeah, every day. And then I did. God bless this country. I says, if I would stay there, I don't know what would happen to me in Europe. There was a lot of these old maids in Europe, you know. They stay back home. The oldest brother got a farm take over, and there was more children home, you know, they couldn't go no place. They helped the oldest one, so they eat. They didn't get no pay.
They work for the room and board, huh?
Yeah, the room and board.
With the older brother, huh?
Yeah, that's the way it was.
So you were glad to go, huh?
And then when it, like Artoka, even worse. When I left, you know, I didn't care nothing about any marriage or any boy or nothing. I had a 2 boyfriends from my school age. They let me swing, and they swing all day Sunday before I left. That's how nice they was.
Uh-huh.
And we were such a good friend, they sent me a postcard to America, both together.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kids, you know, children, like. Stuff like that. I said, it was happy days.
What year did your father die?
13.
1913, right near after you left?
Right after I left.
And then what did your mother do?
I left him sick. He was sick.
What did your mother do after your father died?
What? That was another tragedy. That's another thing my father paid dearly for his whatever he done before he was married. That he squandered his property. The last thing what he had left was that house. And some plot of land, not much. And he borrowed that $200 from some other rich man there. And he couldn't pay back. So they take it away, his property, what he had left.
So they lost the house
after
your father
died? They lost the house before he died. Imagine what a tragedy that was. And how dearly this man paid for his foolishness when he was young.
This was 1913 then?
13 he died.
So what did your...
47 years old.
What did your mother do?
They went back to their mother, to my mother's mother.
Grandma.
Grandma, they all dead. There where Betty was born. Betty wasn't even born in Brazos on number 7.
Oh, that house was gone then by the time Betty came?
By the time Betty came, yeah.
And when Betty was gone, your father was already dead?
No, the Betty was a year old. See, Betty was born, I went 1912, and Betty was born November 1912.
Oh, I see.
And I didn't know that we're going to have another baby.
Uh-huh.
You know. Those women are all dressed alike.
So your father died in 1913.
Yeah.
And Betty was a year old.
Yeah.
And by that time, they lost the house, number 7.
Yeah, that's right. They stayed with her mother. With the 6 kids, I think, the 6 or 7 children went with them there.
Uh-huh.
And his mother had the money enough that she moved. She don't want to stay in a house with the strange people who buy it. Because she could, according to the law, Austrian law.
She could have stayed in number 7?
She could
seven?
Have stayed in her house,
number
yeah,
7.
Because nobody can sell her part.
Uh-huh.
And, but she was too ashamed, you know, she couldn't stand it.
Now this was
1913.
His mother or her mother?
His mother.
Your father's
My
mother?
My father's mother.
Okay. So she moved out too?
Yeah.
And she moved to...
She went close to church. There was a couple old maids there. They was a seamstresses, you know, they make it close. And my grandma, you know, went there and paid the board.
Yeah, now your mother with the kids
went
to live with her
mother. To her mother.
Okay. And this was at the next village?
Yeah.
And what was the name of that village?
Werk.
Okay.
Wasswerk.
And then your father died there?
Yeah.
Okay, and then what happened?
Then a couple more years, mother got sick. And one boy was, this Lado father, his name was Frank. It was a, I don't know what they call that thing. You know, where those monks live?
Monastery?
Yeah. They was chased from France. They moved out the time when the French Revolution was.
Yeah.
And that whole monastery come back to our city, Chintier.
Yeah.
And they take it whole out of the land.
Uh-huh.
And they supposed to do charity among the people.
Yeah.
Anybody could go to their place and they're going to feed you.
Yeah.
So a lot of people from the village, especially children, I went many times over there, you know, when I was hungry. They had a cross outside, and you pull that cross.
And they give you a handout, huh?
And, yeah, and one big, I don't know, machinette, whatever it was. Well, you had a beard like
Monk?
That, you know. Yeah, and
yeah.
He had a brown cloth.
Yeah, sandals.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he come open the door, there was a big door. And he just look at us and count us how many is there. And he bring out the basket with the big pieces of bread for each of us,
mm-hmm.
You know. And that was a big treat, you know. That's what we do.
So then what happened then when your mother went to her mother's house in this village and of course, your father died.
Well, one boy, Frank, was that by that time he must be about 13 or 14 years old.
Yeah.
So this people took him.
The monastery took him.
The monastery that he worked there. You know, he feed their cow. You know, that thing was like a big little city by themselves. They produce everything there. You know, cheese.
Yeah.
Lots of bread and stuff like that.
So Frank was working there.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And they actually bring, when my mother was sick with TB, they know what it was. It was no doctor. We didn't have no doctor. That was during the war.
Yeah.
They bring their own cow into my mother's house and leave the cow there, you know.
The monastery did?
Yeah, monastery.
Uh-huh.
And they just, all kind of a medicine, you know, they try to cure her.
Uh-huh.
And all kind of a fruit. In the worst time, in the winter time, they bring her grass, grapes, you know, when nobody had.
In the wintertime.
In the wintertime.
Where did they get the grapes?
They was really, you know, they was, that was rich thing, yeah. That monastery.
Yeah.
So, they couldn't help mother, you know, she died. March the 6th, I think she died.
1918.
Oh, 1918. Yeah. She lived longer, about 5 years after
that. And then she died in grandma's house.
Yeah.
Now, what kids were left at home?
Jorge and Martin and Franz and Porter and Peps.
Okay.
Those wasn't.
They were left at home.
Left at home.
With grandma.
Yeah. One of the youngest one was 6 years old, and those rest them right after, you know.
Yeah.
With the grandma.
Uh-huh.
And the grandma was close to 80.
Uh-huh.
So the relatives, you know, they kind of figure out. So Martin and Jovi was taken to Ljubljana to the trade school for the boys. Over the church, you know.
It was 1918.
Yeah.
This was Martin and who?
Martin and Joseph.
Joseph.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, well, those two, they must have been around 8 and 10.
Yeah. Okay.
And they train them like that. Both learn, you know, certain jobs.
What happened to Joseph?
Joseph died in the war.
The First World War?
Yeah. No, second. And Martin. They were both killed in the war.
Now, was Joseph killed by the communists like Martin was?
No, I think he was killed before in the war, a real war. You know, they had a real war. There was an army.
By the Germans?
Yeah, by the Germans.
Oh.
And Martin was killed among his friends.
Yeah.
Right in the meeting, I think.
Right. By the communists.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Franz was in the First World War and come home and died from tuberculosis. And left the wife with these two kids, Vlado and Branka. And then this communist business come in, and their mother was shot in the field when she was working in the field, and left right there. When these kids come from school, they found the mother outside in the field with the shovel.
No, Vlado came to the States. Did Bianca come too?
Who? Vlado take it. There is a good example for anyone, you know, about the relative.
Uh-huh.
You know that Vlado, he saved every cent till he make it enough that he sent for the sister. And he didn't left the sister here neither, you know, on her own.
Yeah.
When he went to California and he got a job in a Chevy company as an electrician,
yeah.
He sent for her to Europe. For her husband and two girls,
mm-hmm.
That sister had it, and he sent from to come here.
Yeah.
And he helped him, you know, to come there to California, and now they both stand very good, but Vlado much better, you know, that's the way I heard of it, that Vlado got a second house already in California. Beautiful home.
Now, he's in San Antonio now, isn't he?
Huh?
Is it Vlado in San Antonio now?
No. Vlado's Francis' son.
Oh, okay.
Well, he the one to stay with the communists because they killed his mother.
Yeah.
So
Betty and Pepsi were left with grandma, right?
Yeah. So then I got it, you know, from the grandma all the time. Send me some money if you can. And I was crying over because I didn't have no money to send it either.
Yeah.
See, I had my own bunch of kids.
Yeah.
So Dad got many times, you know, he got so upset and so mad when he see it, you know, those letters, and I got it from, why don't you do something about it, Betty? She need this and she need that. So that's one thing. You know what? I think let's borrow the money from Shkufsa, because we didn't have nothing in the bank.
Uh-huh.
And send it for that kid. I'll see that she gonna have a clothes and eat. I could feed one more, you know.
So you took Betty.
That Betty. That's how we take Betty. And
then you took Pepsi.
And Tonka take pay this car for Pepsi.
For Pepsi.
Yeah. But after it was on me anyway, you know. Pepsi stay with me too. And
yeah.
And she died, you know, in my car.
Less than a year after she got here.
Yeah.
What year did Betty come over?
So that was, I think she must have come over, I would say that it was about 23 maybe.
23?
Yeah.
Betty?
Yeah,
and
Betty.
And what about Pepsi?
Pepsi the same time, see, they come together.
What
well,
you,
Tonka come 1920.
In 1920.
Yeah, Annie was 6
and
months
Betty
old.
In 1923?
Yeah.
And Ann was 6 months old?
When Tonka come.
When Tonka come.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you had babies in the house, huh?
All the time. Mm-hmm.
And then what year did Betty get married then?
I think she must have got married when 1930. She was 18, a little over 18.
Uh-huh. And of course, Tonka got married a lot sooner, didn't she?
Yeah.
Tonka
got married 1923.
23.
Yeah.
So you really had a lot of relatives then, didn't you?
All the time I had it. I can't leave it.
And then, of course, after the war, you got Uncle Roos.
Yeah.
And Edo.
Yeah.
And Vlado Roos.
Vlado Roos.
So you always had some money.
Yes.
And didn't Dad get Uncle Roos a job in Memco?
Yeah.
And didn't he get Vlado Roos a job, too?
No.
No?
No, Vlado got a job in Sinclair someplace. See, Vlado was an educated man.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. I think he had a doctorate degree.
Yeah.
From some kind of educational stuff.
Now, Vlado Roos, did he grow up in Lubyanka?
No, he, yeah. I don't know. No. Vlado Roos, I think they was born in Fayuma.
Oh, he was human. Is that where Vlado Roos lived and went to school?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
They're all nice, you know.
Mm-hmm. And what about Darts?
He's a top row character. Well, Darts come by us, too.
No. Where does Darts fit in? Whose father is he?
Well, he is my brother's son. My brother had three children, two boys and
which
one
brother?
Girl, Uncle Carl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he's Eddie's brother then?
Yeah. He's Eddie's brother. Mm-hmm. But the real rough.
He came from Argentina too then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the first thing who was open to take it after that revolution was there. Because he was marked for death, you know. They would kill him if they would get him, yeah.
Uh-huh. So he barely got out of Yugoslavia in time, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he went to Argentina, and over there he had some money. So he started a little factory textile, and he don't know nothing about the stuff, you know. He was a lumberman.
Yeah.
And he lost everything.
Uh-huh. So, he went to Argentina, what, 46 or 47?
I don't know what it was about that.
And when did he come to the United States?
Well, by that time, Edo was a United States citizen. See, he take the paper.
When did Edo come?
Edo come with Betty, you know, when she, Betty was taking the Buick to...
So that must have been 48 or something.
Yeah, sometime like that.
And then, didn't Edo start University of Detroit then, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's right.
So, and then he stayed with Betty till that trouble come between David. And then Betty throw him out.
That must have been, what, 49 or 50, wasn't it?
I think so. Must have been that time.
That's right, because she accused Edo of influencing David, right,
with
not going back to seminary.
Right? Yeah.
That's right. Although that really wasn't true, was it?
No, it wasn't true. David was crooked himself.
Yeah.
You know how this one, some kind of experienced woman get a boy like that from seminary.
Yeah.
He never had a girl before. And this woman actually, you know, really corrupted. Not that thing that he would go back to. Betty wouldn't care so much, you know, if he wouldn't go back to seminary.
Yeah.
If he can't be a priest. But she was hoping, you know, that he would pursue his education.
Yeah.
That he could make something else. But this woman, she really corrupted him, you know, because she was one of those young divorcees.
Yeah.
And she playing a David's sympathy, and he believed everything what she says.
So then Edo came to live with us.
Yeah.
And that must have been in 49 or 50.
He tried to go by Tonka, but Tonka told me, she says, you better take Edo. I can't have him. I ain't got no room.
They always was a lie.
They had
a big house.
The same thing with Uncle Ruth. No, I can't have him. Betty, same thing. No, I could have him. Only you could handle the truth. I can't handle him. He says he's terrible.
Well, Edo was going to college, right? Detroit?
Yeah.
So he was really coming home on weekends, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And then, you know, after he graduated, you know, he stayed with us, and I charged him $10 a week for all board and clothes. I washed the iron for him.
Yeah, he was working for that construction company building Interstate 70, wasn't it?
But he never paid time, you know, but sometimes he paid, and that's how I got it. I started saving it in my name in the bank, but I had 500 once.
Just from Edo, huh?
Yeah.
$10 a week.
What he paid.
Yeah.
And then when Tom started to work, I told him that he had to give me $10 a week, and he protested. He says, no. He says, I will not. Why the Joe don't pay you nothing? I says, because he go to school. See, Tom thought, you know, that he just going to spend it, his own money, then himself.
Well, Tom was working at the post office, wasn't he?
No, all the time he was, from the beginning, he was in a truck.
Working for the city.
Yeah.
That's right.
And he was satisfied.
Yeah.
He don't want to do nothing.
And then I got a job in the post office.
Yeah, that's right. And then he paid $5 to $10 a week. And in all this time, I put that $10 in the bank every time when I get it from him. And so that time when he got married, he didn't have another $1 in his pocket. Then I let him have it.
You gave him all the money back?
I gave him all the money back, what he paid for.
How much money was it?
$500.
Is that right?
That's right. And poor Arlene had $1,000 in the stock.
So they had $1,500, huh?
No, they blow that $500.
They blow that.
When they buy that house, they had it, that's all they had, $1,000. And me and Dad lend them $4,000. So he make it $5,000. And he pay every penny back, not himself. I could make it because we went and lived there. and I chop it up, $50 a month.
That's right.
And that's how he got paid, without any interest or anything. I think he had too darn easy and too good. He did.
Well.
We tried to help him. That's why sometimes I feel so bad about it. I says, you think you've done it good, and you've done it just opposite.
Well, all in all, you seem to help your relatives out very well. All these people coming from Europe?
Everyone. And, even now, I tell everybody, our house is always open. If I am there, I says, you got a room. You maybe have to sleep on the floor, but you could be on the
people are still coming to see you.
Yeah, they do. I don't mind, as long as they take care of themselves. You know, now I can't be. I can't do it. You know, much.
You're doing very well.
I enjoy it, company, you know. It kind of perked me up a little bit when I'm real down.
Mother's family store. Okay.
There, right?
Yeah, the kids want them now. Their boys want them, and Susie wanted this, and she's been telling me. And
that's
Bob Costelligan,
yeah,
he would make a tape.
Yeah,
he's very much into this. And so he wants a herb.
I think I told
him.
Yeah.
No, about this,
yeah.
Grandma was in jail because it takes us 3 hours walk. To come to the Novo Mesto, there were the jail.
What did they accomplish by putting her in jail?
And we could come, we come right to the door.
Oh.
But we do didn't, you know, me and my mother didn't go with her in. Because it was a government stuff.
Well, how old was she?
That would have been
her
grandmother.
Yeah, but how old was she when they put her in jail?
I think she must have been around 70.
70 years old.
They put her in jail because Uncle Bosnick had avoided the draft and gone to the
United
States.
He didn't come back.
And he wouldn't come back.
Yeah, he
so they put her in jail for a week.
And they accused her that she helped him
smuggle them out.
Get away.
And she did.
And she did.
She gave the money.
It was her fault.
She did.
Uh-huh.
Indiscretion.
Oh. And after a week, they released her. And that was the end of that.
Well, I guess they would make an issue, you know, make an example of this in case anybody else got the bright idea,
I guess,
you know, of assisting someone else. Because what would happen to their army if mothers did this?
Yeah. Well, there's a case in the paper and on the news today, some stepmother refused to tell a grand jury or something, and they put her in jail for a week. And now they're going to have this trial or something further, and she said she would not. And she would not squeal on her for her stepson.
Yeah.
I think it's on the news.
Yeah.
So that's still happening.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And my father was a police side at that time when this thing happened.
Your father was.
And he can do nothing.
He couldn't do anything.
We didn't talk too much when we made the earlier tapes about Dad, Mom.
About how Dad came over?
Yeah. What, how many kids were in the family? And the oldest was what? Frank?
Frank.
And then who was Nick?
Mary.
Mary?
Yeah.
Frank, and then Mary.
And who was Nick?
Was
Bill.
John. Oh, Dad was next, after Mary said
yeah. And then John was the last
one. Of the first family.
Of the first family. And that's what happened to these kids. Their mother died, and the father didn't wait at all. I think just about a couple of months, he married another woman.
And her name was also Regan.
Yeah.
And she was from a neighboring farm.
That's right.
And was she younger?
She was working in a tavern by her sister. Her sister was married, and they had a tavern in Duesenberg.
Uh-huh.
And this girl was working with that when this old man married.
He was a lot older than she was?
Yeah. So I think she had three boys.
After, yeah.
And these kids, you know how it was. They was like, Fabianca was 14 years old.
When her mother died.
Frank was 16 when he got beaten up by the father, and they had an oxen. They didn't have the horses. They plowed the field, and Frank supposed to hold the oxen to go right, straight. And because Joe was telling me that he was there in the field when that thing happened. And the man got so mad, and Frank, that he done something wrong. So he take it, I don't know what, you know what, they got special thing to hit the ox.
Like a whip?
A whip.
Like a whip.
A leather whip.
Yeah, and he whipped Frank in the back, in the bottom, he wanted to whip him. But Frank put the hands on it to protect himself. So when he come home, the mother said his hands was all swollen.
Yeah.
And he began to hate the father. He wouldn't answer him nothing, and he didn't stay home. He ran away. He was someplace eating some kind of a fruit from the trees. He didn't even come home.
Living in a haystack.
And then I think the mother kind of helped him to...
so he could come to America.
And he come like that too, something like...
Like uncle.
My uncle.
He came over.
Yeah.
And he came to Cleveland.
No, he come to Joliet.
Oh,